Good morning, everyone.
It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros.
How are you? How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Tuesday morning to you. It is the ninth day of April 2024. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports and Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be how you may be listening, and whatever may be happening, wherever you are, we appreciate you for making us a part of your day. Text the keyword sports radio, send that to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Meijer Supercenter guest line, 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843. We're on Twitter, XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well. BCSN streaming live on our YouTube page at Michigan Sports Network. Add.com to that to find our website, XBMornings@gmail.com is our fan feedback email inbox. And you can find us all individually on Twitter. Ben Glaze is at the Ben Glaze. Ryan Elke is at Ryan L underscore Key. And I'm Anthony Bellino at AC Bellino. What's going on in the world of sports? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, huge news. The Detroit Tigers lost their third game in a row yesterday. They fell to the Pittsburgh Pirates 7-4. Three consecutive losses. Tigers fall to 6-4 on the year. Two games back at the Cleveland Guardians. -2 run differential. The Gardos already up to +36. By the way, that is the best in all of Major League Baseball through 10 games. So 3.6 runs per on average. You're keeping track at home. Do some simple math for you there. Last night in the National Hockey League, the Red Wings got some help with the Toronto Maple Leafs beating the Pittsburgh Penguins. However, it did go into overtime. It was a 3-2 final. Pens don't get 2 points out of it. They just get one for going into overtime. So that's a good thing because now they are tied with the Detroit Red Wings, and I'd much rather have them just get one than two because it's all shaken down into tonight's contest between the Red Wings and the Capitals. We'll get more into that game coming up a little bit later. But in the wild card hunt right now, the Red Wings are currently owning wild card spot number two with 77 games and 84 points. That was game number 78 for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are tied at 84 points as well. And then you have the Caps and the Flyers at 83 points apiece. Devils not mathematically eliminated, nor are the Buffalo Sabres. However, the odds are pretty slim right now. Long shots, if you will, to try to make the club. The Hawks starred Trae Young, 6 weeks later, was cleared to return to practice. Tore a ligament in his finger back on February 23rd in a game against the Raptors. Underwent surgery 4 days later. Cleared to practice. We'll see if he'll be geared up and ready to go for the playing game. The Knicks have been fined $25,000 for violating the injury reporting rules. They failed to accurately disclose Mitchell Robinson ahead of their meeting with the Toronto Raptors on March 27th. The Knicks listed Robinson as out in their initial injury report. He went on to appear in the game. Sounds like it was a little bit more, it doesn't necessarily sound like it was intentional, more like a bookkeeping or administrative error, but regardless, I mean, I don't know. Injury reporting, the NBA is a, it's tough. It really is because how do you balance who's really injured and who's not and who's just doing load management and, you know, like Cade Cunningham, for example, he gets the left knee management all the time. I don't even know what that is. I really don't know. But I think what you do is you free up the room on the team from a salary perspective. We have to come, you know, the league and the Players Association has to come to some kind of agreement where, you know, if a guy unfortunately blows his knee out, how many jobs can you get injured and collect 100% of your salary? It just doesn't make any sense, especially when you're in a performance-based position. like that. So I think that if they, you know, they put that 65 game rule in for the, you know, to make the all NBA teams, which affects your, you know, long-term status of your contract. You know, for a guy like Trae Young, you know, it's unfortunate you tore the ligament in your finger. You know, then it's like, well, is the league forcing guys to get, we're not forcing you to get back. You're just not going to collect your full salary. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they're, I've always worked in fields and in sectors, if you will, where if you didn't work, you didn't get paid. You know, if I don't go work for the Lions, I don't get the check. That's the beauty of the NFL. If you don't play in the game, you're not getting your game check. It is what it is. And, you know, that's how I've always worked. I don't make nearly the money as of an NBA player, but I think that, you know, like if you're legitimately injured and have to be held out of the roster, like you don't get a game check for that. And we'll see who wants to play. And that's all because of the way that the players and whomever can come after me and say, well, that's not fair. What other industry? I mean, if you are a UAW worker, I would love to hear how they handle that. If you're an iron worker, I'd love to hear how they handle that. If you're electrical, whatever your field might be, how does your job handle that? Like, what do you get PTO? Do you, like, if you get injured on the job, do you collect 100% of your pay because you're not working? I mean, it's unfortunate, but I don't know. That's a legitimate question. If somebody could answer that for me, if you work in a field, I would love to know. I know that if Freddie doesn't show up and unlock his doors and go to work, he's not going to make any money that day. I mean, that's the way the real world works. So I would love to see the NBA come up with something like that to incentivize to get guys back on the court. And then if we can dump all this roster load management BS that we constantly hear about, then maybe we can do away with the rule. But that's going to take a change in the psychology, right? We are very much a do the least amount of work possible and get paid the most sort of society. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Have you heard the name Landon DuPont yet? He got the okay to play in the WHL. The Western Hockey League, the Calgary-born defenseman joins the Chicago Blackhawks rookie sensation as Connor Bedard as the only WHL players to earn exceptional player exemptions. Bedard joined the Regina Pats as a 15-year-old in 2020. Landon DuPont's going to do it as a 15-year-old. He turns 15 on May 28th. He's going to get to play in the WHL, which is pretty. He'll be eligible to be selected in the 2024 WHL Prospect Draft, which is scheduled for Thursday, May 9th. This is pretty interesting right here. Is this guy the next? See the next dude. Aaron Ekblad of the Florida Panthers, the first overall pick in the 2014 draft, who joined the Barry Colts in 2011. Sean Day, who ended up a third-round pick for the Rangers in 2016, currently playing in the AHL for the Syracuse Crunch and the Lightning affiliate. So it's not like it's the first time that's happened, but allegedly this DuPont kid is coming up and he is next. The NCAA could okay a new transfer eligibility rule at their next meeting. So the Division I Council could adapt an emergency legislation this month for a new transfer rule that would allow all undergraduate athletes to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements. The proposed legislation, first reported by The Athletic, would not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer. Athletes would still have the two transfer windows and wouldn't be able to transfer mid-year and play for a second school in the same season. What does that do for a guy like Doug McDaniel? I don't know. The NCAA is also eyeing consumer protection system in the age of the NIL for college athletes and their families so they can have a better understanding of name, image, and likeness deals that are legitimate and those who are fraudulent. Hey, it's almost like we should have done this right from the get-go, but instead you didn't want the schools and their giant payrolls to have anything to do with this. So to me, it's like, yeah, you just kind of shot yourself in the foot. UConn beat Purdue last night, cruises to a sixth NCAA championship and a back-to-back winner as well. Congratulations, Coach Danny Hurley. And the Connecticut Huskies, what a run it was! A dominant NCAA tournament. They were sensational, and that game had it all going on until about 10 minutes left in the second half. Dan Hurley plans to stay at UConn and eyes a dynasty in modern times. There's been oh my God, Kentucky or anywhere that's going to take her further from New Jersey. He said when asked about her reaction to a potential move, talking about his wife Andrea. I don't foresee that happening. And look, they beat Purdue 75-60. You win the NCAA tournament, back-to-back championships. Don't worry about the Big East or the SEC or any of that. Just go coach hoop, All right, just go be a great coach. We'll step aside. We'll be back. Who schedules a national title game at 9:20 anyways? We'll talk about it here on X's and Bros.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000, and you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and the Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network. Great to have you riding along with us. Got a text here. Such a great interview. Heard it yesterday. Makes people want to come back for more. Love how you ended the show yesterday, the last 10 seconds. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. That was very kind of you. Very kind. Kind words. We like kindness here on this program. We like kindness and friendliness and good manners. We appreciate tactful reporting. Unlike Pete Thamel, Pistol Pete yesterday decided that when talking about Danny Hurley and the Kentucky job, you know, Pete is something, I don't know, something's fishy there. But anyways, Pete said, you know, he has to remind you he's from New Jersey every time he opens his mouth. That's what Pete said. I was shocked. And I was like, am I the only person that caught that? Like, is this guy? I got to imagine Pete Thamel's like 5'4". He's just giving me that vibe. He's giving me that, like, real, real difficult to work with. Very malicious in his reporting. That right there, just completely tactless. Like, so what? He's proud of where he's from. He likes New Jersey. I don't personally like New Jersey. I think that state is god-awful. If you've ever been there, I mean, you got to pay every time you get on a street, and the roads stink. So what are we paying these tolls for? Like, whose pockets are these going into? But that's another story for another day. But Pistol Pete yesterday, prior to the game on ESPN, I'm like, dude, you can have a little tact here when you're reporting, Chief. Pal, sport. Open invitation, too, for Pete to come on and join the show, and so I can just ram Jim Harbaugh down his throat. I'm really excited for the day that ever gets to happen, because I just want to hammer him with that and ask him, you know, if his coverage of Jim Harbaugh elevated his status at all. You know, if he went after Jim Harbaugh to kind of elevate his own profile and career. Because we never heard, like, once Harbaugh was exonerated by the NCAA, we didn't hear anything about it. But, you know, it lined the pockets. You know, ESPN got their views, and, you know, Powell and Pistol Pete, they got their time in the sun, you know. And now Pete, there he is, courtside reporting for the national championship game for the four-letter network, and just a very disrespectful way to go about it. I didn't like that one bit. That really rubbed me the wrong way. Hop into the conversation anytime. You text the keyword sports radio and send that to 21,000, or give us a dial on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 866-838-4843, 866-838-4843. Terry on the West Side said, great words of wisdom from Coach Martelli. Thanks. It truly was. I mean, that was one of those where it's like, you know what? I know that, okay, it happened last night. It's prior to the game. We do talk a little bit about the game. We both picked Purdue. That's okay. We're Big Ten slappies. That's totally fine. But I thought the overall message in the conversation was important. And we do need to, you know, bring the reins in a little bit on NIL. We need to bring it in on the transfer portal. I loved his, you know, the kids immediately go to their top however many schools. Like, I think that's so comical when a kid releases on social media his top 10, his top 12, my top 20 schools, my top 30. Oh. Like, dude, bro, that's why I don't get into high school recruiting. I don't give a rat's behind about it. Like, I just do not care. There is nothing you could tell me that's going to fix. Well, the 5 stars all go to the SEC. Okay, great. Cool. Great. Good for them. How many of them transfer? Like, I have just 0.0% interest. You know, if your kid's going through the recruiting process, I know it's cool to put the, like, I just got an offer. I know you're excited. What did kids in the 90s do when they actually got mail to the house, when they got a letter in the mail? Like, what did they do? They told their friends, maybe the newspaper would run an article. Now it's like, I got to go viral. I got to have a guy put together a graphic. I got to have this highlight video. Like, oh my God, get over yourself. And like Coach Candle always says, some kids love football. Some kids love getting recruited. We find out real fast who's who. And that's what it is. Like, some people just like being told how great they are all the time. They need that constant ego stroke. Well, newsflash, bucko. When you enter the realm of college athletics, everybody was the best at their high school. Everybody was all district, all league, all region, all state. Like, everybody's good. And you just keep elevating yourself. But that top 30 stuff can, that's for the birds. Also for the birds last night, why on God's green earth? First off, why was it on TBS? That's number one. Why did we have to go? Why was this game not on CBS over the air? Like, why would you want to limit your view? I get that you want to push viewers towards TBS. I understand from a strategy standpoint, you want TBS's numbers to be inflated so you can look at like the overall spectrum when you're, you know, putting together your sales package for 2025. Cool. But that doesn't do a service for the consumer. If I were running a league or a team or anything of the nature, I would want my games on as many possible stations. I would want it in as many homes as possible. That's how I would look at this. How do we, you know, Matt Ishbia is doing this in Phoenix right now. And I think we'll see a little bit of an evolution. You know, the Pistons games are going to be on TV 20. So over the air in the greater Detroit area. I think that's the way to go. I think that you want to be able to, I get the regional sports networks. I don't have a problem with that. And most people have a cable package, but even if not, I would try to get my sports network on every platform possible. We'll just give it to you. Stream it on Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, whatever. Get it on everything. Stop trying to squeeze every single provider because not everybody's going to take it. And then stop charging the consumer. Like, direct to consumer is terrible. It's awful. I think it's a bad business model because what I want is I want to be in as many, like radio, for example, I want to be in as many cars as possible, as many platforms as possible. You want to get us on iTunes. You want to get us on Spotify. You want to get us on iHeartRadio. It's all there. Boom. Like, however you want to be able to access the program, that's where I want it. I want as many platforms as possible. We're not going to go out there charging people for that. It's ridiculous. Why would you do that? All you're going to do is get them to close the door on you. No, get that out on as many stations or in as many homes or in as many cars, on as many phones as possible, right? And then you can make your money. But that would be my first line of attack here if I were in March Madness. Get this thing back on CBS. What in God's green earth are we doing? What, I don't even know what CBS aired last night. I should have looked, but I wasn't going to flip over from the game itself. Now, to the game itself. When a majority of your population lives on coastlines, right? The majority of the U.S. population lives on the coast. It just is what we're humans. We want to be by water. Like, that's just, it's natural. It is what it is. When a majority of the population lives in the Eastern time zone, right? The West Coast time, and a majority of that in California, right? They have other things to do. We know that they're not like, California's a monstrous state. That's why they have so many teams. But you got to take care of your number one markets. First off, it's the Big East. UConn is there. So you have UConn playing Purdue, Eastern and Central time. but yet you're playing them on Pacific time and scheduling this thing at 9:20 because why? The two fan bases that are going to watch this thing the most, you're punishing by putting this at 9:20 at night. It doesn't make any sense. And secondly, it shouldn't be on a Monday night. It should not. The national championship should not be on a Monday night. They should have done it on Sunday. It could have had the women's game at 1, followed by the men at 3:30. That would have been perfect. I mean, they're in two different locations, so it's not like you're going to have any overlap of, you know, court time or anything like that. Like, let's just start it up. Your teams can go through. And if you want to do 1 and 4 so you can get your hour-long pregame, by all means, go right ahead. I'm here for you. But scheduling a national championship game at 9 o'clock Eastern time, dude, we're exhausted. We're tired. We don't want to have to deal with this. If you're pandering to all those people in Mountain Time, good luck. They don't care about sports. Not nearly as much as the Eastern Seaboard. And the Eastern Seaboard has a majority of the population. What are we doing? Who is in charge here? I have a lot of questions. I would like to sit down in one of these meetings. So after I'm done taking over the PGA as the PGA commissioner, I'll fix the NBA. I'll fix the college football playoff. And then I'm going after the TVs. And we're going to fix this whole thing, too, because we are going to acquiesce to the Eastern time zone. We're not starting anything after 7:30. Sorry about your luck. You live in L.A., it's 4:30 your time. That's okay. You can watch it on your phone, watch it on your computer, watch it in the office. I don't give a damn because you're probably not watching it anyways. Get out of here. We're back with more X's and Bros after this.
Huge here with a reminder that on Thursday, April 25th, I'll be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 from the world-famous Caucus Club as they prepare for the private NFL VIP party with Bull Rush Sports Management and certified NFL PA agent David Gregory. We'll be joined by Josh Garvey and his team from Dorn Mayhew. Matt Golden, the CEO at the Tullymore Golf Resort, will check in. And also our friends from Coppercraft Distillery. Be listening for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to get in to this private NFL draft night bash at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, less than a half mile from the NFL draft stage. It's being presented by the Michigan Sports Network and David Gregory and Bull Rush Sports Management. Be listening to The Huge Show for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to the huge NFL draft watch party Thursday, April 25th. 25th in Detroit.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone, from Bubba Coo's burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new food district. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
From Traverse City to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City, you're listening to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network. Great to have you right along with us. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide on the iHeartRadio app. We say good morning to you. We welcome you. We thank you. We appreciate you. And, of course, we encourage you to join the program at any time. You can text the keyword sports radio. Send that to 21000. Sports Radio to 21000. Our Meyer Supercenter guest line, 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843. 866-838-HUGE is the phone number. College basketball season has officially come to a close with last night's 75-60 win for UConn over Purdue. Now, Dan Hurley said after the game, which I think was really interesting, their game plan, we didn't want to give up threes. We didn't care if Edie took 25, 28 shots to get to 35 points. The game plan was no Smith, no Lawyer, no Gillis, no Jones. Keep that collective to under 20 points as a group, and we had a chance to win no matter what Edie did. Okay, so no Smith. Braden Smith, 4 of 12 from the field, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, couple of steals, only 1 turnover. Played actually really well, but 4 of 12 shooting, that's less than ideal. No Lawyer, literally no Fletcher Lawyer. 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3. No points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. Glorified cardio out there, a couple of fouls. No Gillis. Gillis off the bench. 0 for 2 from the field, no points, 4 rebounds. That's it. Another cardio session. No Jones. 2 for 3 from the field, 5 points. Only got up 3 shots in 23 minutes. 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Smith had 12. Nobody else had more than 5, except for Zach Edey, who was 15 of 25 from the field, finishing with 37 points, 10 rebounds, a couple of blocks. And this one was a lot of fun until about 10 minutes left to go in the game. And that's when you knew not only is this out of hand, but there's no chance Purdue comes back. Connecticut had the guard play. They have the wing play. They have the interior post play. A real throwback game early on, a frantic pace, which definitely favored UConn in that regard. And a couple of really interesting stats here. UConn has missed 32% of the NCAA tournaments played since 1991. Pardon me, since 1999. I don't know why I said 91. UConn has missed 32% of the NCAA tournaments played since 1999. UConn has since won 24% of the NCAA tournaments since 1999. That's incredible. Teams to win all 6 games in the NCAA tournament by 13 or more points in a single tournament. All 6 games, win a national championship, do it all by 13 or more points. UConn did it in 2023. UConn did it again this year in 2024. They were simply unstoppable. That was one of the 37-3 is their final record. I mean, that was ridiculous. And they got punches in bunches. Right, 4 of their 5 starters in double figures. Klingon had 11-5. Castle had 15. Newton had 20. It was a perfect 6 of 6 from the stripe. Spencer had 11. You know, the fouls were 18-15, so not anything egregious. The Huskies were 9 of 11 from the free throw line. The Spoilermakers were 11 of 15. UConn was 6 of 22 from 3. Purdue was 1 of 7. Well, you just got to shoot more. Well, it doesn't necessarily work like that. Like, one, you have to have the guys in position that can make the shots, but two, you got to find some open shots. I thought UConn did a great job in the perimeter and in defending. And a higher percentage from UConn from the field overall at 48.4%. They were 30 of 62 from the field. Purdue was 24 of 54 for 44.4%. 18 assists on 30 made shots for UConn. Worked that ball around nonstop. You saw that weave, that handoff screen weave they were running up at the top. You know, each team had 3 steals. UConn had 4 blocks. Purdue had 3. Like I said, the fouls were relatively even. The turnovers, both teams under double digits, 9 for Purdue, 8 for UConn. And UConn won the rebounding margin, 35 to 28. Purdue only had 8 assists on 24 of their shots. 8 assists on 24. That's 33%. Meanwhile, UConn was, you know, getting the ball, getting that pass that led to the bucket on over half of their sets, which was awesome, on the made field goals. Dave in Hudsonville wants to talk about the basketball championship. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Hey, B. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You're right, exactly right about the time. It was a late one, man. It's too bad for the kids, you know, especially it's just you can't stay up that late and be expected to go back to school, and it's testing week in Michigan, and a lot of stuff going on, so it's frustrating when it comes to the time. But I want to talk a little bit, too. You said it was an old-school game. Yes and no, in the sense that, you know, you go back to, you know, Ali and George Foreman, like, UConn rope-a-doped them. And what I mean by that is, you know, they basically, you're exactly right, they took away everybody but, you know, Edey, and gave Smith a bit, but at the end of the day, they ran Edey into the ground. And if you watch Danny Hurley was kind of crazy in the first half. I mean, he was on the court at those timeouts. He was hounding officials. He was chasing around. He had words with Edey. They ran pace, 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 and eventually Edey just couldn't keep up. And it showed in Edey's shooting percentage in the second half, and even later in the first half. And it was really a brilliant strategy, I think, from a game plan standpoint. Then the other thing it showed is the Big Ten played old school basketball. I mean, there are other wings, Lawyer and Jones and those guys, Gillis, they couldn't get off a shot. You know, they just didn't look like they ever had the ability to create a shot. While Connecticut had a variety of things, and I mean, Spencer was a revelation from them, who played at Rutgers last year. That guy was all over the place. you know, and so forth. But I really do think it shows a real disparity about maybe how the Big Ten has approached basketball and a team that plays through the post almost every time, and then a team that bounces and still plays through the post but also has a variety of other players.
Yeah, that's what I liked about the game going into last night. I thought we had a little bit of everything. I thought we were going to have good guard play. We had wings that could shoot it. We had big men on the interior that actually have some post moves. I mean, Edie with an up and under. You know, Rafferty's like, ah, Kevin McHale, onions, yes, with a kiss. Like, it was great. That's why I really felt like this had such an old school feel, because you had a little bit of variety. It wasn't the Alabama, let's just transition, chuck threes, the new Steph Curry revolution. Like, this was a... Connecticut's a really sound team. They are a really sound team. They share the basketball. Yeah. They move it. They can kill you with a variety of different moves.
I tell you though, AB, and you being a Wolverine, or employed by the Wolverines, me being a Spartan, Dusty May is going to bring a whole new style of basketball to the Big Ten. You know, and it's not going to be something that you necessarily love, but it's going to be something that challenges the league based on the athleticism he uses and going up and down the floor and playing out in the perimeter and driving the ball and so forth. Dusty May, it's going to be really interesting to watch him, and I think he's going to have a fun band of basketball. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be traditional basketball. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on other teams from the perimeter, driving the ball. It's going to be very guard-driven and wing-driven. And it's going to be interesting as it goes forward, because it's going to be a different style of basketball collectively than the Big Ten's been used to.
Yeah, it'll be as long as you make shots, everything works, right? I mean, make or miss league. So, you know, if you want to get out and run.
As long as you hit the baseball, exactly.
Yeah, you know,
that's not like in anything, man. And last night, UConn shot it pretty darn well.
Yeah, from the floor. You know, from three, they struggled a little bit. But I think that, you know, when it comes to Dusty May and Michigan, we gotta see who they're gonna have on their team to figure out. You know, I know the style he wants to play, but you're gonna need some sort of size on the interior. You're just gonna get out rebounded every single night.
Oh yeah,
you know.
But
so
I mean, the house was left in a shambles. So for
Dusty, he's gonna bring in Vlad the Impaler's coming, the big Russian from FAU. He's coming. I'm excited to see him. I forget what his last name is. Vladimir. I think it starts with a G. I don't know why I think it starts with a G. All I can think about is Jack Golke right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Have a great morning, man.
Thank you. You too. Right. It was Dave in Hudsonville. It's out of here. I was. I didn't want to say it ahead of time, but I was willing to wager that Dave was somehow going to bring up Michigan during a Purdue UConn national championship conversation, and I would have hit, man. I would have hit like it. It is what it is. What are you going to do? I mean, it's just Michigan, man. It's just that the Block M just lives in every step they take, every move they make. I didn't think about Dusty May at all last night. I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't think about Michigan at all. I was hoping for a game that was going to come down to the wire. It was going to be a lot of fun, a little back and forth. UConn just boa constrictor, squeeze the life out of Purdue. Nothing the Spoilermakers could do there. Nothing they could do. You know, I would kind of equate it to, I didn't think about Ohio State football at all. I haven't thought about Ohio State football. And I mean, I watched a video from, was it Late Kick Josh with Josh Pate, where he was talking about Michigan and Ohio State. And just talk about, hey, Ohio State might recruit better, but, you know, on-field results got to matter. I'm sorry, I was unaware that anything else did matter. I don't care what kind of cars you drive. I don't care what your facilities look like. I really don't give a rat's behind. Can you win games? That's all I want to know. Vlad Golden, according to Austin Bowman. Big Austin. Yeah, Vlad. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. I wasn't really necessarily prepared to talk about Dusty May and FAU and what that means for Michigan, but... You know, if that's what you know, other folks, other fans wanna talk about, that's fine. I get it. I understand. I'd want to probably talk about us too. Gotta be tough. It's gotta be tough when you really think about it. I mean, Michigan with the last national championship for the conference has really gotta eat some people alive. And you know, somebody asked me about this the other day about Sharon Moore, and I was like, it doesn't really, whatever. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, whatever. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Well, only time will tell. Well, do you think it's going to work? I don't know. Well, how could you say that? Well, I mean, do you know? If you know and you have a crystal ball, I would break that thing out and pick some lotto numbers and get to getting here immediately, because these things are climbing over a billion. We have no idea how it's going to work out. It could work out and go really well. It could flame out. It could, you know, just, you know, sound effects there. Like I was feeding a toddler, you know, bringing the spoon in, you know, bringing the spoon in. Come on, get that crisscross applesauce there all over the high chair. Just an absolute disaster. It might work. It might not. There's no such thing as like Kentucky getting rid of Coach Cal, or Coach Cal deciding to leave Kentucky is a better way to put that, because Kentucky's not on the hook for any money. So that works out well. He's going to Arkansas. Will it work? I don't know. It's Arkansas. I know the pressure is a lot less. I don't know who's going to replace Calipari at Kentucky. That to me doesn't seem like a great, like, everybody gets so wowed and so enamored by all these different jobs. I think fan base and legitimate expectations play a role in this. Like, I do not expect Michigan to win a national championship next year. I don't. I don't expect Alabama to win it either. I don't know who I expect to win it, but I don't expect Michigan to do it. I am expecting Michigan to play a hell of a football schedule. I think Alex Orji will be the starter. It's April 9th. It's 7:48 on a Tuesday. It was a national championship segment that somehow spiraled into this. I think Orji's your starter. And I think that Alex Orji is going to run and throw that ball, and Michigan is going to do what Michigan does, and that is begin at the line of scrimmage and work itself out. It's going to start with the engine of the car and then add the doors and the tires and everything else. It's going to start at the offensive line. So is Sherrone Moore a great hire? I don't know. He might be. He's done pretty well thus far in the games that he was tasked to do. But, you know, a lot of that comes with, you know, it's all under the Harbaugh umbrella. And it's going to take a minute for these the Harbaugh recruits, if you will. And everybody always says that, but it's your position coach that's going out recruiting. Right, so we'll see. We'll see. I have no idea. I have no idea if this is going to work out or not. But I'll be honest with you. After the 15-0 season, a Rose Bowl and a national championship, I'm kind of content with the rest of my life. Like, that's two of those things that I've seen now. Like, I'm good. Like, you know, if it happens again, great. If it doesn't happen again, I'll live. I'll survive. You know, and we'll see what Dusty May can, what he can do and what he can cook up here for Michigan hoops. The good news is it's basically a pressure-free situation. If he brings in a lot of his guys from FAU and they come over via the portal, then you feel like you're pretty set and ready to go. Some guys won't want to play for him. Some guys will want to play for him. We'll wait and see. Some guys will reopen their recruitment. Oh, we can go through that whole hullabaloo of, you know, getting that top 30 back out there, like Coach Martelli was telling us in hour number one. We could do the same thing. Get that top 30 out there. You know, make sure that everybody clamors for you on the internet, and then you get mad at them when they boo you when you can't hit a shot. Like that. Welcome to 2024. But UConn versus Purdue last night, sensational game, sensational game plan from Hurley and the Huskies. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They were going to shut off and cut down the perimeter, and they were going to let Zach Edey do whatever he wanted to and just let that be. Braden Smith, your only other Purdue Boilermaker in double figures. That is astounding. 2 points off the bench for Purdue. Two. You're never going to win a game like that. Like, your stars have to star, but eventually, like Shaq always refers to, you know, Derek Fisher, Robert Horry, you know, some of the other guys on the Lakers. He calls them the others, right? The Shaq, you had Kobe, then you had the others. Who was going to make a big shot? What other guy was going to be a part of this team that was going to contribute at a major level? Same thing is going to happen tonight between the Red Wings and the Capitals. Like, you know, Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, you know, Mo Sider, those are kind of like your stars, if you will, of this club. I know DeBrincat's gone a little ice cold over his last 17, 18 games, but it's okay. He'll figure it out. He knows how to put the puck in the net, I promise. But your star is half the star. Like, that's a given. And then you depend on the other guys to kind of, you know, fill in the blank. There were no other guys for Purdue yesterday. Fletcher Lawyer playing 30 minutes, going 0 for 5 from the field, grabbing 2 rebounds, 1 steal, a turnover, and 2 personal fouls. That's cardio. I mean, that's just literally, that's getting on the treadmill and just running back and forth. Just running back and forth. They had no answer for UConn. And UConn does it all. UConn scores on the perimeter. They can dump it down low. They've got good guard play. They defend. Like, I was overall very happy with the game until about 10-minute mark, 13-minute mark of the second half. That's when you knew, like, we could shut this thing down. We're not going to last. Like, it's a 9:20 tip-off. I'm not going to hear one shiny moment. I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be one shining slumber. It's going to be one little nap here is what it's going to be. That's what I was interested in at that point. There was no one shiny moment. We did not make a... I know Jack Golke got some love during it, so that's cool. I saw via Twitter this morning. But outside of that, like that's basically all I was looking forward to. Just watching the actual game itself, and hopefully Nolan Richardson turned Arkansas into a powerhouse. Arkansas isn't Michigan basketball. Okay. You gotta let the Michigan stuff go today. It's not about Michigan. Everybody wants it to be about Michigan. We gotta let it go. We can survive a day without thinking about U of M. I know it's going to be difficult for some of you. I know it is. I understand. I get it. It's all you can think about. It consumes you. It consumes you. You know, you think about what schools have won both a football and a basketball national title in the last 40 years. Michigan. Michigan has done that. Florida has done that. Like, I know it's difficult. I get it. It's going to be okay, though. We're going to make it through. I promise you. We'll be back with Hour 3, X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sport, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet, just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge cheer for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.